Oh, what a joy it is to be at Cross Culture Church at Tuesday noon Bible study. Here your teacher for today is Minister Gerald Alfred, and we are moving right along in the book of John. We're in chapter 15 and going to start at the very first verse here. And there's a lot, I mean so much involved in this that I really don't want to rush, but I will go as far as I can in this period of time. But I want us to fasten our spiritual seatbelts today and get ready for a move of God in reading these scriptures. And as previous sessions and for all times that I'm here being an instructor, I want us to take a look at how we can apply John 15 to our life today. Jesus was specifically talking to his disciples and assuring them of the fact that he was going to leave, but strengthening them to stay focused after he left, because there are some things that could have happened if they would sway to the left or to the right after he fulfilled his destiny and purpose. Well, one, they could have scattered. Two, they could have not moved on faith. Three, they could have decided to do something totally different from what the Lord had told them. But being a disciple and being disciplined, the Lord was showing them how they needed to stay focused and to stay attached to him spiritually, even though he would not be there with them physically. So, and of course, we have a parable here, and it has such symbolic meaning. So let's dive right in. The very first verse says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And I'm going to read a few of them, because if I just stop here on one, I might not move any further. But let's do a few of them. Verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Verse 3. "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." All right, we're going to do 1 through 4, and let's dive right in. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Now, let's dive right in. I said, number one, he says here in 15, "I am." And I want us to challenge our thinking and our Bible study to figure out how many I ams are in the book of John. And as you turn pages, and of course, if you have red letter edition Bibles, you can kind of get to them very quickly. But for you all who are maybe riding in cars, or you're sitting in your office, or however you're listening to this podcast, there are 12 I ams in the book of John. There are 12. And if you would like, I would go ahead on and give you the 12s and the verses. But you scholars already have that intact, I'm sure. But he says, "I am the Messiah," which is in John 4 and 26. He says, "I am the bread of life," in John 6 and 34. "I am from above," John 8 and 23. He says, "I am the eternal one," in John 8 and 58. "He's the light of the world," in John 9 and 5. He says, "I am the door," in John 10 and 7. He says, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10, 11, and verses 14. "I am the Son of God," in John 10 and 36. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's in John 11 and 25. He says, "I am the Lord and Master," in John 13 and 13. And of course, we just got through dealing with "I am the way, the truth, and the life," which is in John 11 and 6. And number 12, he says in 15 and 1, I am the true vine. So there you have it. And I told you, this book of John is very powerful in explaining to us the deity of Jesus. So upon studying this book, you will really have a revelation of who the Father is being on display through Jesus. So he says, I am, and of course, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, diving into this part is very interesting because vines are interesting plants, and they grow from a root that's in the ground, but they spread out quite a bit. All right. And they can, you can have one vine that has branches that go on one side of the house or one side of the fence or be in one field, and another part of it, which is attached to the same root, can be on the other side of the house, on the other side of the fence, or even stretch all the way into another field. So, and then you have some wild vines, and you have some that they just kind of shallow. They only reach for so far, and they don't produce much. All right? So Jesus is saying, listen, I am the true vine. And to get the revelation here, he says, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, of course, talking about this vine again, the root of the vine is in the ground. So you don't see the root of the vine. When you see a vine, all you see is the branches.
Well, the branches.
Yeah, that's all you see is the branches. You see all this running and going on, but it all leads to back. If you follow it all the way back, it's in the ground. And of course, the Lord has said on several occasions, if I start getting into it, about he's the root in dry ground. He's the root out of Jesse. Mm-hmm. There's a lot in there talking about root. So when he says he's the true vine, we get to understand that he is the foundation that all of us spring out. He's the first fruit of many brethren. We could just go on and on. And of course, if I keep going on and on, we won't move on. But so he's the true vine. He's the one that's been planted here for us. Right. He's the mm-hmm. Father on display, planted for us. And out of him, we come. Mm-hmm. Right. Because we are part of him. By faith spring from him. And of course, his characteristics we should take on because we are rooted and grounded in Christ. Okay? So now you got an and in here, and let's get into the my Father is the husbandman. Now, if we go into just a New Testament scripture, if we go to Matthew 6 and 33, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that shall be added unto us, if he even back up in there and says that it's the Father who take care of the birds in the air and the flowers, they toil nor spin. So he takes care of everything, right? So if he takes care of everything, this is just another confirmation that our Father is the husbandman. What is the husbandman's job? The husbandman's job is to make sure that the vines are being taken care of, that they are being placed in an area that can get sun, that can grow, that can produce more fruit. And as we get on a little bit further, there's another job that the husbandman do to make sure that the vines produce even more fruit. Okay, so we have a expectation here that our Father is going to take care of us if, in fact, that we are attached to the true vine. All right. So we got a Father who looks after us and cares for us. And as long as we're in that true vine, we're going to make it. All right. Now, it's getting ready to get interesting. So fasten your seatbelts. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. All right. Now, if you be in Christ, then you Abraham's seed and, of course, heirs to the promise. All right. So I'm just quoting some scripture here. So being in Christ has benefits. All right. Now, when you're in Christ, as a vine is attached and only grows out of a root, the root supplies the sap and everything that the vine needs to bring forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we want to see here that if indeed you are in that true vine, then you should be bearing fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it says here that every branch that's in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. How can we justify that if it's in him, it's not bearing fruit?
Well, those are the ones that are not obedient.
Ah.
You know, those are the ones that are not obedient. And I wouldn't say so much as they're ignorance, but I think it's more disobedience.
Okay.
It could be that also their will to seek him and grow in him and come to know him and trust him. Well, let me back up and say, could it be a lack of full submission?
Ah. So they're not all the way in the root.
Right.
They're superficial.
Yeah, they're like not all the way in.
They're not all the way
in the soil.
Ah, okay, all right, and that's exactly where, you know, we have some people who confess Christ,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really receive Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they have a form of godliness. But they're not all the way in the draw,
mm-hmm.
from mm-hmm. that they need to exemplify a deeper walk, a deeper connection.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could bring back another little illustration, a wheat and a tare looks a lot alike until it matures out. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's a lot of people in the church who come out of what we call it? They come out of custom and habit,
tradition.
This was their father's church, so they come on Sunday because this is what their father, said that they ought to do. But are they really drawing or getting anything from it? They're showing up every day, every Sunday, but they're coming in dry and leaving out dry. Or they come in disappointed and they leave disappointed, you know. And if they're looking for the wrong thing for the wrong reason, they come in seeking and then leaving out mad because they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. All right. I mean, and it could be something as simple as some recognition for something that they did for show in the first place. So I'm just touching on a whole lot.
A person can have a lot of head knowledge, but haven't had a heart transformation.
Good. Having head knowledge, mm-hmm. but not having a heart transformation.
Amen.
All right. So now every branch that says it's in me or look like it's in me or is pretending to be or perpetrating like it's in me, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, can we talk a little bit about the fruit? Now we talk about bearing fruit. Let's kind of dive into that a little bit because we can't go without getting some of that fruit. Now the evidence that there's a particular type of grape on this vine, and I'm using that as an illustration, would be the color, right? The texture, right? Or the taste, right? So if you are in Christ and 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, they become a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, things start to change and blossom out new. Then you should have a new texture. You should have a new talk. You should have a new walk. You should have. So if you're not bearing fruit, or you're the same as you was when you profess Christ, and there's no evidence of being a change, there's no taste of love, compassion, mercy, if there's no fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, you know, if none of those things are being displayed in your life, then are you truly connected to the vine or to the root?
Mm-hmm.
to the true vine. Now you could be half in and half out. But we got a statement about that. If you're not bearing fruit, then something getting ready to happen, right? All right. So now we figured out what this fruit is. So our life should be exemplary of what we're attached to. Can I say that?
Yes.
Our life should be exemplary of what we're attached to. I know one thing. If you're in the army, people can tell when you're in the army, right?
Right.
You wear army clothes. You stand at a certain attention. When you know you respond in certain ways that only military people do, right?
Right.
So then why shouldn't we as Christians be on display as Christians and respond as Christians, right? When the world is in turmoil, we should have the peace of the Lord that takes us past all our own understanding. We should be able to have mercy, compassion. You know, the fruit of the Spirit should be there so that people can say, what is that different about you? Well, I'm attached to the true vine, and this is showing because I'm not following the ways of the world. All right. Now, let's move on to where it says every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. What's going on with the purging? And of course, we're looking at this today, and I can understand what he's saying to his disciples. But how do we apply that to us today? There are things in our life that hinders us from being all that God wants us to be. It could be attitude, right? God has to work with all of us in different areas that's affecting our productivity in him. All right? That may be a way that we're thinking. That's why we have to cast down vain imaginations. That's why we have to have this mind that be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Right? That there's philosophies and ideas that the world have that we have to reject.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So God has to remove some things from us and trim some things out of us so that those fruit of the Spirit can come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say this part, that in this life, we're going to have some tribulation, trials, and tests, but we should be of a good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. What do we learn from tribulation, trials, and tests?
The Lord is trustworthy and faithful.
Oh, not only that, we find out what's in us as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
we should
be able to.
I'm thinking there could be, but I've seen some that haven't.
Right, that haven't learned.
Right.
Well,
but, you know,
right.
I've learned, but God in his graciousness and love, they're bearing a little fruit. And what I mean by that is that I know of some, or let me say, I'm just using example one, and you don't know, so, but they profess to be believers, okay? They know the Lord and they love God, but their life is not exemplary of, you know, him. But how, and when I say that they're not bearing the fruit, but on the same hand, they're kind people. They want to do kind things, and they do, you know, kind things. But it's more out of the cardinal. It's sort of like satisfying themselves.
Uh-huh.
Say, okay, God, see what I did? Rather than the fruit that comes from the love of Christ manifests out that you. Am I too far over the board on that?
Well, no, but I want you to understand, too, that what the work that's done in us is the removal of hindrances and things that keep us from being able to produce it. Now,
in order for that to occur, that one has to have the will to submit. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to do any work unless you submit. You know, I mean, what I mean by that is that in order for you to bear fruit, or let's say to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit, let me say one, you know.
Okay.
That has to come from one's will to want to.
Okay, so now let me just back up. Now, we did just get through talking about your depth in Christ is going to identify
right.
where you are with
right.
him.
Yeah.
So as deep as you go, the more he's able to remove some yeah. of these things. And that's what he's saying. If you are, if you have already started to exemplify the giving, this producing of fruit, let's say you got compassion, you got long suffering, then God is going to move some things away from you so that you can even have more of that and be able to impact more people with that. And that's what I'm seeing here. It says he's going to purge it so that it can have it. Now that I'll just use myself for an example. There are some things that I have a hobby. I'll just leave it at that. I got a hobby, and the Lord has told me about the hobby. He said, now this hobby that you have is really beginning to take a little bit more of the time that you could be donating to service. And if you really want to do what you need to do in me, you're going to have to dial it back some so that you can dial me in some. Now, that's just me personally.
Okay.
Now, let me give you a scripture for it. All right. The rich young ruler came and he professed to know who Christ was.
Mm-hmm.
He started giving him accolades and everything. And God said, well, now, son, you're really going at this the wrong way because there's nobody good. Mm-hmm. You know, you're already here trying to lay it thick on me. And he said, well, go. Let me just show you where you are. Since you're giving me all of this, let me show you where you are. He says, now, if you want what you say you want, mm-hmm. then you're going to have to sell all that you have and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is a purging right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great example of purging because he wanted to get that off of him, the fact that he had made his own way. He had arrived somewhere because of his own self-doing and keeping the law, which he couldn't do. He lied because he said, I done kept the law from my youth up. There's no way for you to keep it. The law was just a tax master and a mirror to show you that you could. So he said he did. So see, let's remove this lying spirit. You know, let's remove this pride that you got because you're a rich young ruler and everybody giving you accolades. Sell that. Become humble.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Like get some humility here and then we can go somewhere. So these are some of the things that I was talking about that when he said he purges you, God knows what hinders us,
and
he'll purge it.
Mm-hmm, and purge you, all of us, in different ways.
Like in different ways.
Because I love avant-garde jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And I started collecting the albums when they were albums.
Mm-hmm.
when I was about 15, I started, 13 maybe, started collecting. And I had a real, I mean, when I went to school, I used to study by John Coltrane and Miles, all that, you know, and it had become a god, an idol.
Mm.
And I was, people would see my collection, they said, oh, ooh, you know, they would go and all, you know, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, gee whiz, see?
Right.
You know, and then as I surrendered more of myself to the Lord, he said to me, now, go throw all that in the dumpster. But at this time now, and I was really, I said, okay, I was like, whatever the Lord said, do. So I let me tell you, so I did it. And then I said to myself, well, maybe I could make a little money off of this too. So wait a minute. So I went and tried to go to some of the avant-garde stores that bought vintage music and so forth. Nobody would buy nothing from me. Nothing. And they would look at it and they'd say, wow, where'd you get this from? And all this, but they wouldn't buy it.
They wouldn't buy it.
So the third time I put it in my trunk, the Lord said, what did I tell you to do?
Right.
So I'll tell you, Lord, I said, forgive me. Okay, so I pulled the car up. And you don't know, you're talking about hundreds. In the dumpster. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord. And I'm like, he said, but what about the cassette tapes?
Oh!
So then I had to go
back. Had to go back and get the cassette tape.
No. But I was saying all to say that, you know, but pruning, you know, how he does it with us is in different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
Because at that, where I was at this part, he said, okay, now I can work with her because I'm going to get her to get rid of that God, that idol that she worships.
Right.
And when I say that, when he does prune you, when you bear fruit, you know, because it just grows you in the Lord.
Right.
And other people can see it, yes. You know. And when I did that, that allowed a breakthrough for some other things in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry I had to go through a lot.
Oh, that's all right. Well. And you
but
know what?
But I'd like to share when I got breakthrough.
But you know, too, just like when I think about pruning, I think about how a plant is pruned.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I tell you, my mother came to my house once and she pruned one of my plants.
I know
like, you done cut the whole thing.
I've done
but
that.
He came back
so
just,
beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Yeah.
So I guess in us being pruned, it's like, you know, cutting off some of those weights.
Yes.
Hebrews said they're so easily besieged us, right? And like you say, things that we don't consider weights or hindrances.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you have room to grow and you know, to go out and
this is important here.
Mm-hmm.
This verse right here.
Yeah.
It gives, you know, there's a lot of introspect that people need to really deal with this.
Right.
You know,
right.
And like Ann said, you know, just an example of that. There's another. She saw the pruning in a physical, you know, kind of thing. It wasn't directly, you know, involved with her. But she saw when her mother pruned that tree. It looked horrible when you cut back all the. Like you almost killed. You might as well kill the tree.
Yeah.
And then as time went, she can see.
Yeah.
So that's a good analogy to use with people, especially with new believers about pruning. You know, it's. Pruning is necessary.
It is.
I got another word. Y'all have really stirred up some things. Mm-hmm. What happens when there's some chastening and it's and the chastening comes in and it's not good at first. It's said to be grievous, but what does it do?
Oh,
but at the end of it, it works something out, right?
Yeah.
So here's another illustration of God works with us different ways,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we're chasing different ways,
right.
But yet the outcome is. However it takes to get that out, God wants to get it out so that we can have our greater good to come out. And who gets the glory? God does.
Amen.
Amen. So I tell you, I told y'all it was going to be a little rough here, these few ones. I didn't know how far we were going to get. But luckily, we still got some more time. So let's thrive on through here. Verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That cleansing right there, what do you think he's saying when he says you are now clean through the word?
Well, let me think. I know what I want to say, but I'll give Ann.
Ann looking at you. I mean, I don't want to just take it over. I want to.
Where the law was a mirror to them, the word. Cleanses our heart, okay, which allows for what the Lord said, a new heart, a circumcised heart.
Right. It's not an external thing,
no,
it's an internal thing.
It's an internal thing.
So now we have what he's saying to them through this parable. He's wanting them to understand that something needs to be exemplified in your life if you are attached to the true vine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying, look, now the word has set you right.
Mm-hmm.
Now hopefully you understand how this works, that the Father's going to take care of you. But in the meantime, if there's some things in you that's not causing not allowing you to be fruitful, he's going to remove those things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or and if he don't remove them, he'll put you in a situation where you will have to let it go. And listen, I can tell you for out of a personal testimony, if God tell you to do something, it's best that you do it because you don't want the other part of it.
Trust me.
I got a bad one, boy. I tell you, God told me to do something one time, and he told me to leave a certain situation. And I said, well, what are the, you know, what am I going to do after that? And it's going to be kind of tough after I do all that. And I kept hemming and hawing, and I got torn out of the situation.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't.
Oh.
See, I could have walked away from the situation and dealt with it a whole lot better than being torn out.
Because
when I was torn out, there was some rough edges left. I mean, people's feelings were hurt.
Yeah.
It was some lies told. I mean, it was horrible. And I kept going back. He said, now see, if you'd have left when I told you, it wouldn't have been all of that. But because you tarried around, you know, it just got worse and worse. So sometimes when God tells us to do some things, there ain't no sense in bucking and arguing about it. And Pastor Walker just got through dealing with Elijah when he was in the cave, and he told him to go to the mountain. Go stand on the mountain. Now, instead of him coming on out of there, irregardless of all of the shaking and the wind and the fire, and going over there, because had he not done some mighty things, and God had used him mightily, so it wasn't that God couldn't have took him past the shaking, the wind, and the fire, but he was looking what? In himself. And not looking at God. And so I love that. I'm going to hold that forever. Don't let God come three times to tell you something. He tell you one, you get the still small boys at number two. Then you get, what are you doing here? You know, you don't want that voice. You don't want that last one. And then he says, okay, since we got the number three, you're going to lose what you got. Go down there and train up your replacement. Cut your job gone.
Oh,
Lord, don't take my job. Don't take my job. For you all who are listening to this podcast, you might need to go back and get that message Pastor Walker dealt with about Elijah, because Elijah had to go train Elisha.
Oh, my.
And God took him on up. The mantle fell. And guess what? That Elisha did some mighty works, man. But those were Elijah's works to do.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was hard-headed and because he didn't do what he was told, he lost it. So when there's purging that's coming and God's trying to get some stuff off and he tell you something to do, just go and do it. Just gonna do it. Bear that fruit, because he's removing the stuff and telling you to let it go so that he can get the glory out your life. So we got to stop looking outside and look inside and recognize the truth. All right. So we know why we clean, right? We get clean through the word. He says, this word that I give you will clean you up. But you know what? It's just like medicine that the doctor prescribes for you. If you go to the clinic and pick up the medication and take it home and sit it on the counter, right? And don't get it on the inside, what happens? You don't get the healing. And what is this word supposed to be? A healing. He says food to you. It's everything that we need. All right, so now I done took up a few more extra minutes, but let's forge ahead into verse 4. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So where do we get our power source from? We sure can't get it from the flesh. Right? He said, now, if I'm the true vine and you trust in me, this sap, right, this spiritual energy, this power that comes from me, is what enables you to bear fruit. So see, remember when we first was talking about how some branches don't bear fruit, and we said the reason that they don't is because they really not in the vine.
Right.
Now there was a preacher that preached this, in the patch, but not on the vine. What a message. In the patch, but not on the vine. Now there's a lot of people hanging around. There's a lot of people come to church on a regular basis, not rooted and grounded in nothing, but they showing up. And of course, the same preacher said, just cause you crawl into an oven, don't make you a biscuit. Or if you stand in a garage, it don't make you a car.
Right.
Amen. So we have to understand, are we planted? Right? Are our roots, I love it, can your anchor hold? I used to love that, boy. Said, can your anchor hold? Where is your anchor hooked up to? You know, are you on that solid rock? Not that solid rock I stand. All of the ground. Okay. All right. Now, before I get excited and try to sing, which I need to quit.
Okay. Okay.
It says, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So here we go. If we be Christ, we're then what? Abraham's seed, right? And 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ, he becomes new, right? So our being in him causes us to be able to produce this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and also the fruit of the evidence that we're connected to him. Remember, what did I say? You show who you are connected to. What was that statement?
You know who you are, but by who?
You said our life should be exemplary of what we are attached to.
Yes. Attached to, right. Our life should be exemplary.
By what
we're attached to. Yeah, of what we're attached to.
Mm-hmm.
I had to hear that again. That came out, boy, it was like
that's
boom.
Why, see, that's why we
y'all writing that. It down. I'm glad y'all writing it down. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this podcast. It's been some good stuff coming out of here. I'm like, wow, I said that. And it came back to me. I was like, what did I say?
Oh, that's good.
That was good. So yeah. So we got to abide in him. Now, out of all this time I've been doing this Bible study, this abiding in him, does that go along with our prayer life? Does that go along with your prayer life would dictate your spirituality? It'll dictate your strength in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, when people fall away and the world flashes a sign and they get all scared, my question is, how deep is your relationship with God? And of course, we're in a political climate as of 2016. November 20, what's the day's date? The 22nd. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that have fear. Mm-hmm. and are uneasy when they should have their trust and faith in God. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all them and they that dwell within. He raises kingdoms up and he set kingdoms down. And if I just might, since I'm not going to get into it, was there a time when the children of Israel said, we need a king?
Oh, don't go there. I just did that yesterday.
Huh?
With the doctor, yes, indeed.
And God said, no, I'm your king.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, we want a king that we can worship here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to worship a man like we worship you. And God said, well, that's not going to be good because I don't share my mm-hmm. glory. Mm-hmm. He said, but you know what? Since you just want to have one, I'm going to give you one. So we need to be careful.
Is that in Samuel or King?
Come on, Bible students. Y'all got to go get it.
Because I just gave that same, just a person was very discouraged.
Come on, y'all need to dig that up right quick.
Yeah. It's Israel.
Desiring a king.
Yeah, to the prophet. They went to the prophet and said,
we want a king.
We want a king. And the Lord said, okay, I'm
going to
give you one.
Yeah. So, you don't, no, he's saying, I'm your king. And yeah. He said, well, no, we want one. No, we want an earthly king.
Mm-hmm.
We want an earthly king.
I wasn't going to have to find it
any out. Well, I'm going to move on into 5 while y'all dig it up. Because
mm-hmm.
I y'all some Bible students, and I know y'all can come with it. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now 5 is an amplified version of 4, because if you were looking at 4, when you're talking about abiding, he comes back in there and said, okay, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He just makes it a little more plainer. He that abideth in me and I in him. Now, You can be saying that Christ is in you And you could be perpetrating too. There's a lot of people that say they got Christ in their life, but are they living the God kind of life? Right? I mean, is the fruit bearing in there? All right, let's go on to do. Ooh, I forgot the last part of this. I guess that would be a C part of five. For without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, in your mind, you think, well, I got talents and abilities and gifts, and I really don't need God's help. But is it going to really bear fruit and stand out? I see you looking like that. I know a young man right now that says he's a self-made man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's come a long way. He's forged and he's furried out and he done made his own way. And he's a success today because of his own hard work. Yeah.
You do it every now and then, don't you?
Yeah. And I know he was raised upright.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that just go to show you. You got to be. But the truth of the matter is, if you are rooted and grounded in him, you have a humility and understand that your strength comes from him. And you weren't born to be without God. We were born to be with God,
mm-hmm.
and let him function in our life. All right. Number six. Why y'all still looking for that king story?
I'm listening.
All right. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast.
Okay.
What is it? 1 Samuel 8?
Israel demands a king.
Israel demands a king in 1 Samuel 8, chapter 8.
And start with verse 6.
Now, you Bible students, y'all go in there and get that. And we're leaving that as a homework assignment to understand that you know, those things that you can be requiring or asking for apart from God, be careful. Be careful. God is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And God is a jealous God. And so when he tell you to get rid of something and you love it with intensity and passion, and it's a hobby or something like that, I doubt if he tell you to leave a mate that he gave you. So let's not be facetious and say, well, you know, I'm tired of this person. God told me to leave him. Let's not get it twisted. I'm just saying, if you got a habit, a love, or maybe even a lust, I would dare say, for you all who have situations and issues, let it go. And let God. I'm going to let that be that. For you all who that belong to, take it and run with it. Amen. Because we don't know who all are listening to this, but God does. All right. If a man is six, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Boy, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let me give you a present day term for this. All right. If you're familiar with the word backslider, I want to let you apply that to verse 6. All right. If you're a backslider and you're not abiding in God, neither are you asking for and showing any repentance or asking for any grace and mercy, then you start to wither. What happens when something withers? It loses the substance that makes it grow.
Mm-hmm.
It dries up, right?
Right.
If it had everything it needed, it would be green. It would be pliable, right?
Right?
So I'm just trying to get us to understand what happens. When we get hard and crusty and always complaining and griping about situation and people, you know, We're in the drying process at that point when we can see no good out of anything that's going on. When you're a pessimist and all you can see is the negative, all that, you're drying up at the root. You are. And you can't see anything good. Then what happens? You get withered, and then men gather you. What happens? You start having associations with people who are leaning toward the other side. And then they are burned. What happens after that? Situations take you over and your life is set ablaze. Now, I'm just putting this in terms. I'm not saying this is anything but an analogy to let you see how this applies to present day terms. Right? Because we're looking at this and he's given a parable about what happens when you have unfruitfulness in a vineyard. Because what happens in a vineyard? Each vine is expected to produce a certain amount of grapes, and for these grapes to be good, because the grapes are going to be used for something. So if it's in there, it's supposed to be what? Producing, right? So, can you apply that to something that Jesus said and did as they were walking on a journey?
The fig tree.
The fig tree. They were walking and got hungry, right? Mm-hmm. And what? We could use a snack. Huh? We could use a snack. And the tree was green, and it should have been the time for some figs. But he got there, and there were no figs, and he says, hey, I'm getting ready to do it in. They said, no, let us work with it for a little while. We might can fertilize it right around the what? Root. Mm-hmm. Right? Do we ever get all of that? They said, let us dig around it and put some fertilizer in it.
It's a word in it.
Yeah. And then let that root start sending some sap up and some nutrients so that we can get some fruit when we come back by.
Yes.
But you know what? They did all of that, and when they came back, guess what happened? Still no fruit. Mm-mm. And he said, all right, that nothing will come off of here. And when they passed by again, it was dried up from the where? From the root. All right. So don't let God have to be coming and he ain't getting what he wants. And then you have a repenting thing going on, but yet you still. But don't be looking at me like that. You all are here listening to this podcast. You cannot see these students in here looking at me like that. And surely you don't have that expression on your face, because God's working with you and dealing with you, and you accepting it, and you just loving it. Amen. Because we don't want to get burned up and let the trials and tribulations take us out. I got two more minutes. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Abiding in me means that you are rooted and grounded, right? And my words abide in you. That means the word is being exemplified. Not only are you walking the walk, but you talking it too. Amen? You're not just showing up on Sunday. Something's showing up in you. All right? Then you shall ask what you will. What does that mean? Yeah. What does ask what you will mean in modern day terms? Because we always want to look at this in modern day terms.
The word supplications are coming.
Okay. Now, what's another word for supplication?
Ask. Petition.
What's a petition?
Request.
What's a request? When do you do all of this?
In prayer.
Okay. Come on, students. So he's saying here, if you abide in me and what I've given you is abiding in you, when you pray, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So if we don't get nothing else, yes.
For them, they got it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will get
it. Right.
Okay. So
right.
That word is the will of God.
Right.
So when you got the word in you,
if you got the word in you,
the word becomes a part of your prayer life.
And the word, well, you pray in accordance to the word if you got it in you.
That was you said the same thing I said.
Right.
Okay. Then what you ask for will be in the will of God.
Right. Right.
See, that because we got some people twist that all up. Well, I'm a Christian, and so God said, ask what you want. Yeah. Or they take, you know,
right,
delight in the Lord. And you got to understand.
Right. And, of course, if you get too far off and you're not getting what you're praying for, he says sometimes you'd be asking amiss. You want these clothes so you can be all flashy and get folks to look at you, but I want to just give you some clothes from Walmart and all of that, so all you need to do is to be warm, because I know y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all want Marshalls y'all want Saks.
You got to speak it.
When we get on down into it, God gonna help you with your prayers in this, and so we don't have time to deal with it. But let's be excited, because Tuesday, the Lord willing, and we hope that it be some rain, that we gonna get on into this, because this chapter 15, in the midst of all that we have studied, is crucial to our faith walk. It is. It's crucial to our faith walk. For you all that got here just a little bit late, we in this book of John, in this very first chapter, is one of these I ams. There are 12 I ams in John. There are 12 of them.
In this chapter or in the?
In the book of John.
Oh,
they're pretty powerful. I walked through them and I can't walk through them again, but okay. For your homework assignment, he's got them in there. There's 12 I ams in there. 12 I ams in the book of John. All right. So you all who are listening, get your Bibles in your spare time, dig up them I ams. And I want you to understand again that Jesus Christ is God the Father on display. And here he is validating I am. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for such a beautiful time around your word. What revelation knowledge has burst forth. We are thanking you, Lord, that this word will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto it is sent. We thank you for everybody who's listening to this podcast, everybody that's going to get a chance to listen to it. And, Lord, they're going to be blessed by it because it's your word. We just thank you for it, and we ask you to encamp your angels around about us, protect us, and take us to our next destination. And we will be careful to give you alone all of the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.